People are asking me, what were you going to say yesterday that you didn't say? You got scared there, Martin. That's not like you. You were going to lay something on us, and you didn't do it. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender from my South American bunker. Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what I was going to say. But this is not true. And many of you might be offended. You know, I try to be sensitive. It's hard to believe. I try to be sensitive occasionally to people's personal morality. I saw a bumper sticker. This is what I was going to tell you. I saw a bumper sticker one time that really made me mad. It said, "Jesus is coming back soon, and boy, is he pissed." Okay, I'm sorry I said that word if some people are offended. But I'm just a reporter, and I'm reporting the bumper sticker. Don't shoot the messenger. And I can see where people get that idea. We're still on an overview. This week, I'm just sneaking up on it. We're on an overview on the book of Revelation. Folks, we're going to go verse by verse in the book of Revelation. This is one of the hardest books in the scripture to understand. But there are keys to help you understand it, and I'm going to give you those keys. And we are going to read this book with new eyes, following laws of language. Okay? You have that to look forward to. Verse by verse. And if I don't understand something, I'm going to tell you, I got no clue what this is about. And we're going to look into it together. I'm using for a template, I'm following along with a study, a book that I'm showing you on the Bunker Cam. It's called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. It was written in the 30s by a man named A.E. Nock, and he was the compiler of the Concordant Version of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is the best book on Revelation ever written. And so why reinvent the wheel? So I've read this book. I've studied. I don't agree with everything in there. And I'm going to tell you where I don't agree, especially there's a critical thing happens at the Great White Throne Judgment that I disagree with A.E. Nock. Adolf Ernst Nock. His parents were German. He was born in Missouri, but his parents were German. Anyway, I'm going to look at other commentaries as well. We're going to compare things. We're going to look at world events, verse by verse. But until then, we're still on a general overview here. So I saw this bumper sticker, and it said, "Jesus is returning soon, and boy, is he pissed." And you get that idea in Revelation when you read the things that are going to come upon this earth, like birth pangs. But here's the truth, is that everything God does, he does in love. Everything. All right? I got to admit, it's tough love. What God does is tough love. I mean, look what happened to his son. But his son was a love letter to the rest of us. His son was his demonstration of the depth of his love for us. And then what did he do? He raised his son from the dead. He was only dead for 3 days. You see what I mean? This is a common theme. God is always swift in his judgment, and he's lingering in his blessings. Write that down. Those of you who are going to follow along here, you're going to be with me for the duration of this, and we might be on this for a couple, 3 years. This is going to be a long series. God is swift in his judgment and lingering in his blessings. The book we're studying is a perfect example of that. 3.5 years of birth pangs produce 1,000 years of blessing. Jesus Christ, 3.5 years of his public ministry. And several hours, not days. He wasn't on the cross for days. Yes, he trudged through Israel for days. His public ministry was frustrating, I know. And yet, it was brief. What if he had to go through that for 20 years? Now, you go back and look at Joseph, and he suffered for 27 years. It was 27 years from the time that God gave him his dreams of glory and that his vision for Joseph was fulfilled when he became head of Egypt. But the longer it is, the less intense it is. In other words, if you're complaining that life is just too long, as I do sometimes, my people always say, life's too short, drink more wine or whatever. Life's too short, blah, blah. No, life's too long. I've said life's too long. But I'm going to be careful now, because if you want a shorter life, you're going to have a sharper life. That is, if you want God to take you to the supernal heights as he took his son. And the hours on the cross were 6 hours. All right, the most intense suffering imaginable. Thank you. I'd rather stretch out a life to 60 years if I can avoid the 6 hours on the cross. Jesus, you can have your glory. You deserve it. My point is, God is quick in his judgments. Jesus was in the grave for only 3 days. If only Judas had waited, right? In 3 days, he would have seen his Messiah. Some people, 3 days seems too long. I understand that. This life's hard. The transition between this world and the next world, the transition between this eon and the next eon is going to be hard. But it's only 3.5 years. Oh my God, Martin, 3.5 years. Well, it's not going to be as bad as the 6 hours of Jesus on the cross. Nobody will ever have to go through that. But it's going to be bad. But it produces 1,000 years of righteous rule and bliss for the overcomers and those who are ruling and reigning with Christ in Jerusalem. That's a pretty good trade-off. 3.5 years, what's that, 42 months? And 1,000 years. The 3.5 years buys the 1,000 years. Jesus Christ's 6 hours on the cross bought him the world. Not only the world, but the universe. And brought him unimaginable glory. Glory, more glory than he had before the world began. God is lingering in his blessings. Those blessings come on the heels of judgment. You know this in your own life. Analyze your own life. Actually, this is true in the exercise world. I think this is a worthy sidetrack. You do intense work and you only have to do it a short amount of time. If you're going to do light work, like just go for a walk at a slow pace, you have to walk for 10 hours to burn a candy bar. But if you sprint for a brief period of time, it works. It brings you better results for the shortest amount of time. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at better results, 1,000 years in a short amount of time. But the earth is going to go through things it's never gone through before. We're going to look into 2 Peter for that. Oh, but before I do that, Peter just reminded me of Paul. The one thing, I'm still introducing this book. I got to go back to why I was upset at that bumper sticker. Let me do that and then come back to Paul. Will you remind me? Okay, thanks. Yeah, I got to come back to Paul, but that bumper sticker, yeah. God is now conciliated to the world. He's at peace with the world. He loves the world. He gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loves the world. He never stops loving the world. Let me ask you this. Is he ticked off at a mother who is birthing a child? Is he mad at her? Is this punishment? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, if you go back to Eve, you can say that God increase her pain in childbearing. You have to go back to Eve. So that was a direct result of disobedience. But today, women by default inherit this curse of bringing forth a child. But it's not God personally mad at them. In other words, many members of the body of Christ today give birth to children. God is at peace with them. They're justified. They're conciliated. And they still ouch when they have a baby. But so it's not God's punishment. Likewise, God is not punishing the world in the book of the unveiling, the revelation. He's not punishing the world. The world is going to learn righteousness through the things they suffer. And this is necessary because as we read in Hebrews, this might be good to do before I close this show. And I'll start with Paul tomorrow. In Hebrews chapter 12, I talked about this during when I did my series on Hebrews, which you can find on my website. Just go to Zender Sheridan Show. Hebrews 12, God disciplines those he loves. God disciplines those he loves. Verse 10 of Hebrews 12. For these indeed disciplined for a few days, as it seemed best to them, that is, those who ruled over us in the human sphere. Yet this one, Jesus Christ, for our expedience, for us to be partaking of his holiness. There it is. I love that. Woo! I had never emphasized that verse. I don't think. Partaking of his holiness. The world is going to partake of the holiness of God. You and I, we enter into God's judgments now, right? It's a good deal. Now we're getting God's judgments and we're fine-tuned to it, right? And we're paying attention. We say, God, teach me something. And because we're sensitive to it, God doesn't have to clobber us. I mean, he does do some hard things, but we learn more readily. Now with the earth, they're dull of hearing. They're blind of seeing. That's that blind of seeing? That doesn't even make sense, does it? Okay, you know what I mean. And so God is going to have to wham, slap him upside the head with a 2x4. That's what it's going to take for the world. You and I have it now. Okay, so thank God. So it's not that Jesus Christ is pissed off and he's coming back to just wreak havoc. He is coming back to wreak havoc. But he is doing the will of his Father. And his Father is God, and God is love. And everything that happens, as hard as it seems, is out of a heart of love. That's why I said, or if I didn't say it, I meant to, I'm saying it now, we have to look through the book of Revelation. Before we go verse by verse, we have to train ourselves to be able to, even though we're analyzing the details, eventually look through this book to see what it is producing, to see where we're going, and that it comes out of a heart of love from our God.